End of Perek Zion, we learned that Ezra was finally given permission to go, and he gathered people to go up with him, and they were all ready to make it, you know, to make it over to Eretz Yisrael itself. Now, because Ezra Sofer was such an important person, after all, he was the, you know, the source, as we said, of Torah Shebaal Peh, the Talmud of Baruch Ben Neriya, the person who was the most important, you know, so to speak, important person of Klal Yisrael, somebody that Chazal tell us was as great as Moshe Rabbeinu in his ability to be able to give over everything to Klal Yisrael, and that if the Sefer Torah wouldn't have been given through Moshe, it would have been given through Ezra, etc. He expected the nation, or at least the vast majority, to join him and to come there to Yisrael immediately. That's what he expected. But everyone was blasé. Everyone was like, yeah, whatever, you know, you go first and we'll just follow at some point, and that's that. Most people just wanted to remain there, and that was frustrating. It was a terrible disappointment for everything that Ezra had. Now, had everyone gone up with Ezra, or even the majority of the people would have gone up with Ezra and left their homes and left everything completely, it may have been that it would have ushered in the Messianic era. It could be that Mashiach would have shown up right up there. Zerubbabel would have been Mashiach, or Nehemiah would have been Mashiach, and everything would have been perfectly fine. Haggai's Nevuah would have been fulfilled. But unfortunately, that did not happen. That wasn't what ended up happening. As great as Ezra was, a personality nearly as great as Moshe Rabbeinu, nonetheless, people were more into the economics of the situation. They looked at it and they said, well, I'm never going to be able to sell my home. If all the Jewish people sold together, I'm never going to have any money. So what am I going to do? I'm going to leave everything that I built up over here and I'm going to go to Eretz Yisrael. They just said, like, there's no way. They were comfortable and they were perfectly fine, right? And there's no issues whatsoever.
Yeah, but they had miracles were being performed.
Not real miracles. They just saw that the king was agreeing with everything that was that
no,
Ezra
but the
was
hand
saying.
On the wall.
No, like, no, that had been done 40 years
fine,
ago.
Fine, but things were to the effect of.
But that was in a private
and
audience.
And they had like a calculation.
They did have Nevi'im also. Yes, they had all that. But they're looking and they're like, "You're right. When you build it, we'll come, and we're willing to go." And by the way, this is way past the calculation. This is 6 years past that calculation because it's the seventh or eighth year of Darius's reign.
That's fine, but
so it should have been by then.
It already started.
Yeah, 100%. But they said, you guys be the pioneers and we'll follow you. When you build up the base of Mikdash again, you know, from everything, then we're willing to follow you. We're willing to be able to go through, but they were not willing to go through their comfortable belonging and everything that they had over there. I guess there were people, right, it could have been ideologically, just an error on their part. They could have thought, like, you know what? We're expecting Mashiach to come with, like, fanfare. We're expecting Mashiach to come off a cloud, come down and be like, come, everybody, let's go. And, like, we'll all just fly over to Eretz Yisrael. The fact that one guy is coming up to us and saying, like, let's go, giant eagles, right? The fact that one guy is saying, even if it's Ezra, he's saying he's going to be there, right? I don't know if we're totally independent. Maybe some of the people said, like, wait a second, isn't Mashiach supposed to be, like, an independent melech? Here, we're totally dependent on a Malchus, on Bavel, to take care of us. How is that going to be Mashiach, right? Where's the eagle?
So then it's
and where's
not
our independent government?
So
it may have been
thing.
An actual mistake on their part where they thought this is going to be. They thought that maybe there was not something like there. A non-Jew is telling us to return. We don't want to listen to non-Jews. If a Jew would come along and say it to us, and a Jew would take us out of Persia, or a Jew would defeat the Persian government, then we'd go ahead and go. And unfortunately, it was wrong. That's a lack of Emunas Chachamim on their part. They should have trusted Ezra, and Ezra told them, this is what we're supposed to do. They lacked faith. Now, that is different from our times nowadays. People could compare that and say, well, why is it different from right now? Right now, why don't we all go to Eretz Yisrael? The people are telling us, let's go to Eretz Yisrael, because we don't have that leader, the Chachamim, getting up and telling us, we're all going right now. You don't have that. And because you don't have that, we no longer have that ability to say it. Now, I know the argument. The argument would be, well, there are leaders that are saying it. You're just not listening to them. Maybe they didn't listen to Ezra. I think it's different. Ezra was the Rosh Yeshiva living in Gullis telling everybody, get up and go now. That's very different. It would be like, the comparison would be, Lakewood getting up and saying, we're all going to Eretz Yisrael now. That would be the idea. The Rosh Yeshiva and the Mashkichim of Lakewood getting up, like Ramat Yo Solomon, he should have a Refuah Shleima, would get up and say, we're going now. Everybody up, we're out. Because they're not doing that, that's what it would be for to say like Ezra. And I'm not saying specifically that. It would be any big, big Rosh Yeshiva, like back in the day, a Ramosha Feinstein type.
Yeah, but we're not
Yaakov
going
Kamenetsky
because Klal Yisrael is not ready. Like, we haven't earned it.
That's probably not the issue.
That's the issue.
Yeah,
here,
that's here it might have been that they were there. Yeah, because you had the 70 years, right? Yeah. And that's that. It's just strange that it's over there, but that could have been the potential. It didn't happen, right? A broken-hearted, disappointed Ezra leads 1,500 people back to join in with Koresh and all the people over there. And it's hard. It's going to be really, really hard, right, there were people like this. But it was very, very strange that this thing happened. But this is a continuation of what we had. Even when Moshe Rabbeinu took us out, there was still a Korach and a Dasan and an Aviram and the Meraglim that denied Moshe Rabbeinu's nevuahs to a Kodesh Baruch Hu, which is ridiculous. Ezra was the same way. Didn't have that type of nevuah, but nonetheless, it was the same way over there. Now, this aliyah to Eretz Yisrael happened on the 12th of Nisan, as we're going to see. It's a little bit strange why they ended up going over there, right? But this was done specifically with this in mind. The reason why is because he mamish expected miracles to occur. He expected Pesach to happen all over again. Yeah. So they left on the 12th of Nisan expecting everything to happen over Pesach. Instead, nothing happened. They had to spend Pesach in the Midbar, and eventually they came there at all without any fanfare, without any Kriyas Yam, anything crazy happening. They expected something awesome, and he thought that huge miracles would happen, and nothing happened. Who knows what could have happened? Maybe the Persian king would have come barefoot to Yerushalayim, prostrated himself before Ezra and Zerubbabel, and given over the entire Persian world empire. Maybe that's what it would have been. But either way, we didn't get it. It didn't happen. And that's the sad part over here. So now we're going to list the 12 family clan heads that ended up going with them. Elor Shev Oseim, Visiachsim in the beginning of Perichas, Ha'olim Mi Malchus Artachshasta in the kingdom of Artachshasta, Hamelech Mi Bavel, Mibnei Pinchas, Gershom Mibnei Yisamar, Donei Niel, Mibnei David Chatush. So you got Gershom, Daniel, and Chatush of those three families. Mibnei Shechanya, Mibnei Parosh, Zecharia. So from those families, we have Zecharia. The Emo Yisiachsim Zecharia Mevachamishim, there were 150 males that were traced back to him. Those are the people that went. Mibnei Pachas Moav, Eliyahu Enai, Ben Zracha, V'imo Masayim Ezcharim, there were 200 males with him. Mibnei Shechanya, Ben Yachziel, V'imo Shlosh Males Ezcharim, there were 300 males with him. Mibnei Adin, Eve Ben Yonasan, V'imo Chamishim Ezcharim, 50. Mibnei Elam, Yishai Ben Asalya, V'imo Shivim Ezcharim, 70. Mibnei Shvatya, Zvadya Ben Michal, V'imo Shmon Ezcharim. Mibnei Yoav, Ovadya ben Yechiel v'imo Masayim v'shmona Asar Zecharim, 218. Mibnei Shlomit ben Yosifya v'imo Meya v'shishim Zecharim, 160 altogether. Mibnei Zvevai, right? I think that's Rev Bibi in the Gemara. Vivoy was probably Vevai, the same guy. Well, not this guy, but meaning that family. Zecharya ben Vevoy v'imo Eshim v'shmona Zecharim, there were 28. Mibnei Azgod, right? Good name. I like Azgod. Azgod is good. Good son. Yochanan ben Akatan, v'imo me'ev asar ezcharim, 110, mibnei adonikam, achon ve'ilu shemos ve'lifelet, yi'el ushmaya, v'imo v'shishim ezcharim, there were 60 people altogether from there, mibnei vigvai, usai v'zakor, v'imo shivim ezcharim, together there were altogether right over here. The only one that I want to point to over here, in number 12, in Yud Beis over here, it says there's Yochanan ben Akatan, so Schwab points out, because of course he knows this, Klein, is Kleiner. Kleiner is like short and small. Ben Akatan is like a Mr. Klein. That's the name of the guy. He's known as Ben Akatan. Yeah, that's the actual name that went over here. Anyway, some of these families, some of them left earlier with Zerubbabel. They were just continuing the trend, right? Not all, but some of them are over there. But regardless, some say also that there are 12 family heads altogether. It's possible that each one of these was one tribe each. Each one of them was one of the tribes of Klal Yisrael. Said every tribe was represented going there at Yisrael. It's very possible it was like that. Altogether, there's about 1,500 men. Vakabtem Lenora Ba, I gathered them over to the river that goes Al Ahava, to the area called Ahava, but not Ahava as in love, Ahava with an aleph in the end, Venachana Sham Yamim Shlosha. And I stayed there for 3 days altogether. Ravinova Amen, I looked at the people, Vakwanim and the Kwanim B'nai Levi, Lomatsasi Sham, but I didn't find any B'nai Levi. I didn't see a single B'nai Levi there. No Levium. Ashachal Eliezer, Lahrio, Lishmaya, Lel Nason, La Yoriv, La El Nason, La Eliezer, Lahrio, Lishmaya, La El Nason, Ul Yoriv, Ul El Nason, two El Nasons, right? Ul Nason, Ul Zacharia, Vilim Shulam, Rushim, Lo Yoriv, El Chanam, Ivinim. And I spoke to the wise men, Yo Yoriv, and El Nason, and those people. And Onasan, who were Mavina, three Onasans over here. That's a little strange altogether. But because of that, there were so many Levium. I spoke to them and I said, I want suitable Levium to come with us. We don't have enough Levium. Right? Vatsavos, when I commanded them, Ido Arosh, about Ido, Vichosifia, who lived in the place called Kesifia Makom, Vasimavim Devarim Ledabra Lido Achiv, right? So I wanted them to bring them over to speak to his brother, right? Hanesinim, Vichosifia Hamakom in that area, Lahavilon of his shorts and Leves Elohenu, in order to bring servants to our house of God. And they brought to us, right, by the good hand of the God that was upon us, Ish. Sechel, there was, men of wisdom, named Machli ben Levi ben Yisrael, Vishay Revia Uvanav Echav Shemona Sor, there were 18 people altogether. And then, Veschashavi Vito Yishayim ibn Merari, Echav ibn Asrim, there were 20 of them, Umin Nesinim Shenasim David Asarim, La Avodas Alevim, and the Nesinim that were used for the Avodas Alevim, Nesinim Asayim Vasrim, 220 of them, like a few Levim, but 220 Nesinim altogether, Kulim Nikbu Beshemos, each one of them distinguished by their name. So there were Levim, 38. And yet 220 of these Nesinim themselves. It's possible that some of these cities, the Nesinim became very powerful outside of Eretz Yisrael. This was a very big amount of Mesiras Nefesh, that these Nesinim were willing to go to Eretz Yisrael as remembrance that they once worked in the Beis HaMikdash themselves. They probably considered it a pride for their families. We remember how we served in the Beis HaMikdash. We weren't Jewish, but we served in the Beis HaMikdash. They probably considered it very, very chashuv, right? But as reports, that some of them decided to come back altogether, right? But it is strange that there were 220 altogether for that, and that's that. Now, the Aliyah goes through. The first thing that he does over there, and he tells them, right, that there's going to be a fast and prayers to be able to say that this should be a good thing and everything should go through, right? So they went out all the way through. Although it's Nisan, and normally you don't fast during Nisan, he lifted those transgressions because of all the dangers that were in their faces when they ended up going through the Midbar, etc. Ekosham Tsoyim Alanar, I made a fast day on the river Ahava, Li Sanos of Ne'alohenu, in order to fast in front of a Kadosh Bakal of Akshamenu, Derech Yishar, in order to find a proper path, Lonu Lutapinu for us and our kids, Lachol Rushenu and all of our riches. Kivoshi Lushomina Melachayo Parshim, because I was too embarrassed to ask from the king, armies and soldiers, Lazrenu to help us, Me'oi Badar from the enemies in the road, Kiyamar Lamelach Lamor, because he said to the king, Yadalain Akom of Akshav Latoiva, that God will help out those who search out to do good. So I figured that the king would say two things to me. Number one, what do you need your people for? Don't you have like 50,000 people going? And when he goes back and says, no, not everybody wanted to go. So he only got 1,500. He'd be embarrassed that nobody else wanted to go. Why? What does that mean, nobody wanted to go? I'm allowing you to go back to your homeland and nobody wants to go? So why should I let you go? That was number one. Number two, he was afraid because he had already told the king that a Kadosh Baruch Hu was going to help everybody who's involved. So he said, like, if a Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to help you, then why do you need any help when you're going through the Midbar? Right? Why should he need anything over there? But Uzzah Ba'apal calls off, and then his anger will be upon those who forsake him. Yeah, what's up?
Weren't these enemies non-existent at this point? Mm-hmm. Like Moab? And
No, forget about that. These are Bedouin Arabs that were living throughout the land who would rob anybody who was coming near. So you better believe if Ezra's going to go there with all these riches and everything like that, right, this isn't 36,000 people. This is a few thousand people, 1,500 at best with women and children, right? You're not dealing with a lot of people. In that case, yeah, they have to worry about the people around them. So the Bedouin Arabs and the people that were around them were very dangerous. It's not Moab, Ammon, Edom, the classic ones. These are just Arabs that, you know, could kill them. That could be marauders. So it came down. So we fasted. We asked HaKadosh Baruch over this, and he listened to us. I selected 12 of the leaders of the Kohanim, Shrevia, Chashavia, V'imam, Me'achem, Asara, 10 others. And I gave them the silver and the gold, and all the kelim, trumas, based Eloheinu, the tributes, right, for the base of Mikdash, Ha'irimu HaMelech, that the king donated, V'yotav, Esarav, and all of his advisors and his princes, V'chol Yisrael, Nimtzayim, as well as all the Jews that remained in Bavol Sav. So we went ahead and I weighed through their hands themselves, right, to be able to go through. I weighed it all together. Kasef kikarim sheish meos. There were 600 kikar of silver, v'chamishim, 650, I'm sorry. Chalei kasef mea l'kikarim. 100 kikars of silver vessels. Zav mea kikar, 100 kikar of gold altogether. Ukhfori zav esrim, 20 golden bowls. The adarchinim aleph, 1,000, they were made of 1,000 adarkons, which is probably a coin of some sort. Ukhlein echosh mutzav toiva, very, very shiny copper. Kelim into that, shnayim chamudis kazav. There were two as precious as gold. I guess it's a very, very special type of copper because normally copper is not that expensive. But Omer Aleim, And I said to them, Atem Kodesh LaHashem, you are holy to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. These are the Kohanim, the Akein Kodesh, and the Akein HaKadosh, the Kesef HaSav, the Dovah LaHashem, the silver and the gold are donations to HaShem. Shiktu V'shumu, I want you to be very careful and watch. Al Tishku L'fnei Sarei HaKohanim V'Levim, B'Sarei Avos. Right? Until you weigh them out in front of the Kohanim V'Levim and all the officers, L'Yisrael B'Yerushalayim, HaLishkos B'Hashem in the chamber. So make sure that everything is there, so we weigh it out, nothing is missing. Kibla Kohanim V'Levim, Mishkal Kesef HaSav, Akeilim, they accepted it, the silver and the gold and all the Kehilim, L'Havi L'Yerushalayim, the base of the land, to bring it over. V'Nisa Minar Ahava, that also put them in a lot of danger, because obviously they're the ones who everybody's going to go after if that happens over there. But that's what happened. V'Nisa Minar Ahava, we traveled from Nar Ahava, B'Shnei Masar L'Chodesh Arishon, on the 12th of the first month of Nisan, L'Lech Yerushalayim, in order to go to Yerushalayim. Yadalenu Esaleinu, the hand of God was upon him, Yatzalenu Mikafo Yevo Rei Valedarech, and he saved us from the enemies and the ambushes that may have been on the road itself. There probably were enemies and wayward, you know, people that were lying in wait for them, especially for people that were carrying a ton of gold and silver, and yet nonetheless, nothing happened. Perhaps this is the reason why we do Tefillah Sederach. We see that Ezra is the first person to have made an actual prayer and a fast day before they went. Maybe this is the reason why, and that's why we use these words. Right? We do that and that. We do have Shlech Mitzvah money, although I don't think they got that. I don't know.
Well, that's what it is. They had the mitzvah of carrying all this stuff.
Yeah, it's very nothing possible. So there were Shlech Mitzvah, so they had no worries whatsoever. That's good. You don't need money. You're on your way to do a mitzvah itself. So I wish we knew a story. I wish there was a story of like the guy came and, you know, they stopped and they all died in the Midbar and stuff like that. We can make it up, right? But it seems like there's no stories. We don't have anything over here. But regardless, that's the idea behind it. Anyway, whereas if another Yerushalayim came to Yerushalayim and Eishu Shom Shalom Yom Shalosha, we stayed there for 3 days in Yerushalayim. Yom Raviyin in the fourth day, and Yishkos HaVazav, that Kelim Beis Elohenu. We weighed out the silver and the gold and the Kelim and the Beis HaMikdash HaYidei Meremos, Ben Uriah Kohen, Meremos, the son of Uriah Kohen, Yimimo, Elosav Ben Pichos V'Yimayim, Yozavad Ben Yeshua, Veno Adya Ben Binoi HaLavim, and those Levim as well. Those are the people that were already there in Yerushalayim. We waited out in front of them, right? And it took us 3 days. Now, the reason why 3 days, to rest up, get accustomed to your new surroundings. I'm sure these trips were harrowing when they went through. You needed some time. It's not like a regular plane trip. V'misbar v'mishkal l'kol, right? So there was a number and a count, a weight for everything. They counted. They wrote down the entire weight of everything they had. Right? The returnees from the captivity. They all brought korbanos to the God of Israel. Parim shnei masar kol Yisrael. There were 12 cows, right? For all of Bnei Yisrael. I think that's male, so it would be bulls. Elim tishim v'shisha. 96 rams kvasim shivim v'shiva. 77 sheep altogether. They decided to bring this many for all of Bnei Yisrael when they went through. But that's that. And then it says tzviri chatas shnei masor, 12 he goats altogether. Akol ola l'ashem. Everything was an ola to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I mean, they did not blink shlamim. They didn't bring any chatas, ashams, etc. Only olos. Ve'inu was dosi amelch v'achshar penei amelch. And they gave the king's orders to the officers of the king, Opachavos, Evar Anar, and all those people that were living on the Evar Anar. This is the Evar Anar, the other side of the Jordan River, because for Bubbles, the other side of the Jordan River. This was Amez Beis Olam. They held the people in the house of God in very high esteem altogether. Now, some say that these Syria Chatos were for Chatos that they had done when it came to Avodah Zarah. Each one was for one of the Shvatim that had worshipped Avodah Zarah over the past 70 years.
Tuma on them and,
you'd assume it was stuff like that, people. Right? And they were going through. So the likelihood is what they were going through right over here, and that's that. So but the Gemara in Horius is the one that says that this goes through for the 12 tribes and all the avodas that they might have committed over the last couple of years, and they each brought one, which meant in order to bring a korban for a nation, you need to have representatives of that nation there. So that means that you did have all 12 tribes represented in Yerushalayim. So according to that shita in the Gemara that says that's so, then that's what they ended up doing. One interesting thing that comes down over here is, if you notice, they brought out the stuff and they brought it over to the Kohanim and Levim. Where's Zerubbabel and Yoshua ben Yotzadak, the Kohen Gadol? Where's Zerubbabel? Zerubbabel should have been there. Yoshua ben Yotzadak should have been there. The Kohen Gadol. They had just gotten there 5-6 years earlier.
Vacation. It was springtime.
So it is strange. It's strange. Now, one could say, well, they weren't in charge of the money. These were like the Gizbarim, the people in charge of the Gizbarim. But you'd think the first thing we'd say is Ezra Kohen meets Yoshua ben Yotzadak and Zerubbabel, right, and that's there. Now, Zerubbabel, it's possible. If Zerubbabel is Nehemiah may have had to go back. Nehemiah was allowed to go in the beginning in order to start it, and Zerubbabel would be the leader right over there. And then he had to go back to serve the king. And that's what we're going to see where Nehemiah is this entire time. He's hanging out with the king the whole time because he was his cupbearer, and that's possible that he had to go back. Yeshua ben Yotzadak, what happened to him? Now, he was very, very old. He was there. His father was the Kohen Gadol in the previous Beis Hamikdash, which makes him at least 60, 70 years old, right? He was killed over there. So Yehoshua ben Yotzadak probably was extremely old at the time. But it seems really, really strange that he's not mentioned over here together with everybody else. One of the reasons we said that Ezra is never known as the Kohen Gadol is because Yehoshua ben Yotzadak was the Kohen Gadol. Now, Rav Schwab does have his opinion. Remember, the opinion that he doesn't want to say is that there are years missing. In those years missing, it could be that by that time, Yehoshua ben Yotzadak and Zerubbabel are already dead, and now we're dealing with 150 years later. That there's 150, 160, 170 years missing, and this is part of the years missing. And that's why they're not mentioned over here. But again, he doesn't like that opinion because it doesn't seem like it goes with Chazal. Let's see Parktas over here. They brought everything, and then he's shocked to discover that the Jews that were living in Yerushalayim with a built Beis HaMikdash, who had been there not so long, they came from Koresh, not 25 years earlier, because you're dealing with all the 14 years of Achashverosh, etc., had already assimilated with the Goyim of the nation. They already had started marrying in, and he can't believe it. So it says, Ukechalos Eila Nikshu Eila Asarin Lame, where the Sarin came to me saying, Lo Nivdu Ami Yisrael Vakwanim Velevim Me'amei Aratos. You know, the Yisraelim, the Kwanim Levim, did not stay away from the people of the lands. Kitoav Oseim Lakanani Achiti Vaprizu Avuzi Amonia Moavia Mitzri Vamori. They're doing the abominations of all these different nations. The Kanani Achiti Prizu Avuzi Amonim Moavim Mitzri and Amorim. They're following their gods. They're marrying into these people over here. Yes, they migrated back to Eretz Yisrael. And yeah, we had the Beis HaMikdash. But nonetheless, they're doing what everybody else is doing. They married off their daughters to them, and to their sons, and they mixed together the children of the very holy people with the people of the land. And you should know, the officers and the princes, they were the first to do such a thing. They were worried. They were the ones who were involved with all this. Now notice, by the way, they're not blaming the Jewish woman for intermarrying. The Jewish woman kept themselves to a higher standard and would only marry Jewish men. But the Jewish men were marrying out. Perhaps they married a Jewish woman and they converted extra people to have extra wives. Men even matured it for themselves and said, hey, you know what? We need more kids. We need more kids. We've got to have more kids here. So let's convert a bunch of people around us, have a bunch of kids. We'll have about 20 kids each, and that'll work out well for us. Maybe they matured it for themselves. But unfortunately, obviously, that was not the right thing to do. What two of the people who were highly involved with this were Yehoshua ben Yotzadak, the Kohen Gadol's own sons. When Zechariah sees him, he sees his clothes are stained with mud. And Chazal tells us what that means is that he was stained, that his children married people that were not roi for them. Some say that means that they married people that were not roi for them, but they were still Jewish people. Others say they mamish married other nations. It's very likely they still converted them, but can a Kohen marry a Georis? Absolutely not. And that was a major problem on the part of Yehoshua ben Yotzadak, that he didn't complain and he wasn't involved. But he's one referring to right over here. They were involved with this 100% over here. Now, at the end, we see the total number of men who married foreign women was 113. So it's not horrible, horrible, because you're dealing with thousands of people now. You're dealing with about 50,000, maybe 60,000 people.
One is too many.
But 113 is still absolutely horrible, and it's absolutely problematic. Now, again, it's so strange, though. There were so many great people that came, right? Chagai, Zechariah, Malachi are there. Daniel should have been there. Zerubbabel was there. Yehoshua ben Yotzadak. How is nobody involved whatsoever? So it's possible they had the power of moral persuasion, but they did not have power in legal areas. So therefore, certain people who wanted to go outside the legal boundaries did what they wanted to do.
You mean they couldn't
Ezra,
paskin?
They could paskin, but people had to listen to their psak. They didn't have any legal abilities to change anything because
Koresh never gave them does. That. Nobody in does. It's just a matter of respect.
Well, Darius II gave permission to Ezra to judge and to do whatever he wanted. And because Ezra was able to do whatever he wanted, he could immediately go up to them and say, I'm making decisions now. You got to divorce all your wives. That was a major, major thing that stopped right over here. That it could have been, I don't know. We have no idea what it ends up meaning over here. There is an opinion that goes through from the Rishonim, right? It says, Ukechalos. This may have been someone else writing at a later time. And it could have been almost 100 years after Ezra had come that the people had whatever it is. And wow. During this gap in time, the great leaders, right, may have died. Ezra may have gone away and these people had happened. And therefore, it's Ezra's grandchildren that are involved with these things. But
what
here we
about
go.
That word
seems unlikely. What
about Ukechalos? What is it?
It's when it all was ended and everything is finished. So it's almost like after all the Sefer was finished, this is what happened over the years afterward. It's possible, we just don't know. When I heard this thing, Karati is Bigdu Me'ili, I tore my clothing and my cloak. And this is obviously referring to Ezra, so that second parish would have to say it's referring to somebody else entirely. The Emratam Yisar Roshi, and I tore out the hairs of my head, Uzakonai, as well as my beard itself. He mamish tore Kriya over the fact that somebody married out. And the truth is that that is the halacha when it comes to when you hear about somebody marrying out. There is a chiv to tear Kriya because your mom is losing out on children in Klal Yisrael, which is the saddest thing in the world and very insulting to the people, but that is what it is. And I sat down in desolation. All the Haredim came and gathered to me, the people that are Haredi. Good word, right? And all of the terrible things that had happened in the Golos. I sat there confounded. Ad leminchas arav until the even. Leminchas arav kamti mitanisi. Toward the evening, I got up from my fast with kari bigidi umeili, and you know, with my torn right clothing and my cloak, achral birkai, and I bent down on my knees with efrusach chapai l'Hashem elokai, and I spread out my hands right to Hakadosh Baruch Hu, my God. So before I even ate anything or anything like that, right, they still, nonetheless, the stain was there. The Chafetz Chaim. Right, Chafetz Chaim says, "Uimay Yisrael Asalem Neis Babiyah Shnei Kibir Yishona Elishagara Machet." The Neis Yisrael was supposed to have a miracle, right? Like the first time they went into Eretz Yisrael, but the Chet happened, so they didn't get it whatsoever. What was the Chet? Says the Chafetz Chaim. This is in Beis Yisrael, chapter 2, page 13, in the Kol Kisvei Chafetz Chaim. The Chetam Yedua Shneim Tzavem Harbe Nosim Nashen Achrios. They had intermarried. Afsha also tshuva v'garshmi beis. Even though they did tshuva, they divorced from their house. V'gamlo hayukim chelakatin. Even though it was only 113 people, in kolzeh nishra v'gamim klaysof lozach legula shleima karoy. This was the reason why they didn't get the gula shleima. It was not because all the people didn't come. It was because the people intermarried. That was the great harm that had happened over here. He recognized how egregious this sin was. They realized how bad it was and that the Gula Shalom was going to be postponed. And therefore, because it was going to be postponed thousands of years later, as it turns out, because we're now still waiting for the Gula Shalom to happen, Ezra knew that this was the main reason. Omer Elohai. I'm sorry?
I said, we're still intermarried.
And unfortunately, it doesn't help much, right? And that's that. So it says right over here, so if you don't recognize this, well, you've never done tshuva ever in your life. This is in Slichos and obviously over Yom Kippur. My God, I am embarrassed and ashamed to lift up my face to you. Right? This is what he's saying. Oh, a loud voice saying in front of the basement. Kevin Hussein, Rav Lamala, Rosh. Our sins are way over our heads, and our guilt is above even in the heavens themselves. From the days of our fathers, we are very, very guilty. Through our many sins, we, us, our kings, our Kohanim, have given ourselves over into the hands of the kings of the lands, right, by sword, by captivity, as well as spoils, as well as embarrassment, as we see on this day. In almost a second, for a small moment, there was like this grace that we got from HaKadosh Baruch Hu to give us a little bit left, and to give us a peg, right, leave over for us something, right, on the people that were around there in the place of our holiness, to lift up and lighten our eyes to God, and to give us a little bit of a free life in our work and everything we do over here. So it says, right, we are slaves. In our bondage, we did not forsake Eloheinu our God. And God has given us in front of the king of Persia. It says, to give us life, to exalt the base of Mixer, and to stand up all those that were destroyed, and to make Gidarim, right, actual fences in Yerushalayim. What are we going to say after all this? That we have forsaken your mitzvah. That you have commanded in the hands of your Nevi'im, Laymor, saying, the land that you have come to, that you will inherit, will be an Eretz Nidhi. It's a land defiled. By the defilement of the people of the land, same with all the abominations that they had filled from one end to the other with all of their tomb of Atav. And now, God had commanded, right, don't give your daughters over to their sons, and don't marry their daughters off to your sons, and never get involved with any of their peace or their good. Don't get involved with them, but my text, so that you can have good and you will eat from the good of the land, and you will give it over, right, to your children forever and ever. And after all that has befallen us because of our bad deeds and our great guilt, Now you, our God, had withheld us because of our sins, but it's not so enough to kazos, and you've given us such a small remnant. How could we again have violated your mitzvos and marry the people that are abominable, these people? You are going to destroy us completely without anything left. We are before you in our guilt. There's nothing that we can do over here. Nothing else that we can do. And that was the full tefillah. We obviously only say the first line in our what's it called? Our supplications. Nonetheless, that was the tefillah. As Ezra was davening and as he was doing his vidoy, he cried and he fell in front of the Beis Hamikdash. Nikbatuah Lavi Yisrael called Rav Ma'id. A huge amount of Bnei Yisrael heard what was happening and they gathered together all their people on Nashim and Nashim V'Yiladim. Men and the woman, says the Malbim, these were the Jewish wives of the men who would marry non-Jewish women because they were very upset as well, right? And that's the idea behind it. Some say it was like that. Malachi, the Navi refers to the bitter tears that the Jewish women shed when their husbands married out. Malachi may have been Ezra, which makes a lot of sense. So either way, he got up, called Rav Ma'oid, Anashim Anashim, Yiladim and kids, Kivachom Harbim Abecha. Everybody was crying together. Vayan Shchanya ben Yechiel. So Shchanya ben Yechiel got up from Bnei Elam. He was from the people of Elam. Now, Elam was an actual non-Jewish nation, but he was from that area. Vayomer LeEzra, and he said to Ezra, Anachnu Ma'al Nebeleinu, we have sinned against our God. He became the spokesman. Not only that, the greatest thing is that Chazal tell us that Shchanya ben Yechiel did not do anything wrong. There's not one thing that Shechani ben Yechiel did wrong.
In this instance or in general?
When it came to, marrying, intermarrying, whatever it was. He had a perfectly fine wife and he was Jewish, etc. But Shechani represented the people and said, we have sinned. And that's how we see that you should take on the sins of the nation along with yourself. It's all of us. We have married for ourselves non-Jewish women from the people in the land. Is there any hope for Bnei Yisrael in this? Is there a mikvah for Bnei Yisrael to go to? But really, Kaveh is there hope for us. That's all. Nichros v'Zolenu, let's make a bris for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Lahoti kol nashim, to divorce all of our wives. Anolid mehem, and all the children born from them. Be'atzas Adonai, through the Eitzah of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'achareidim mitzvos Zolkenu, and those are Haredi in the mitzvos of Hashem. V'chatorah yaseh, they'll do according to the Torah itself. Kum, right? Get up, right? Ki alecha adover. It's on you to do. V'anachu yimach, when we're with you. Chazik v'aseh, be strong and do it. That's what he ended up saying over here. So this is what Shechaniah, said over to Ezra and said, we are willing to go over here. So Ezra is willing. Once he hears that the people that are there, the committee over here is whatever, even though he's so weak and he can't believe what's happening over here, he knows he's going to succeed if he has these people have it. Yaakov Ezra says, Ezra, get up. He made them swear to do exactly this. Divorce your wives and get rid of them completely. When they swore to do so. Yaakov Ezra, he got up from the base of Yehochanan. He went to the chamber of Yehochanan ben Eliashib. And they brought their bread. Because he hadn't eaten any bread. Right? He hadn't eaten any bread. He hadn't drunk any water. Because he was in mourning over everything that happened over there. But before he ate, he let out a noise throughout Yehuda and Yerushalayim, the whole Bnei Agola, for anybody that was part of the Golos, so he covets Yerushalayim, that they should all gather toward Yerushalayim, and there would be dire consequences for anybody who didn't come. Remember, Ezra's in charge, he can make whatever he wants. Anybody who does not come for those 3 days, according to the Eitz of the Sarim and Zakenim, all of his property will completely be confiscated, and it will be separated from the Kalagola. We learn from over here two things. Number one, Hefker, Beis Din, Hefker. If Beis Din decides that they want to take away somebody's money, they're allowed to. That's what we learn from Ezra over here. That's number one. Number two, such a thing called Cherem. You can actually excommunicate a person and not allow them to be in part of everything else over here. That word comes from right over here. Both of those are learned out from over here. They're ostracized, they're shunned, they're ignored. Those two halachos are over here.
With the Mitzara, where you throw him out of the camp, so to speak.
But it's not a cherem. And also, he may be mutter to his wife, meaning at the time where he's what's it called? Where he's a musker, right? Instead of a musker, whatever, then he's also to his wife. But a muchlat is machlokas, whether he's mutter to his wife or not. Muchlat means he's decisively tameh and he has saras. That guy might be able to be together with his wife, so we see that he's not fully kicked out. These guys will be fully kicked out. All the men of Yehuda and Binyamin, they came to Yerushalayim at the end of the 3 days of Chodesh Atshi, Asher, and Bechodesh. It was the ninth month of the 20th of the month. Let's count it all together. What would be the ninth month? So Nisan, Iyar, Sivan, Tammuz, Av, Elul, Tishrei, Cheshvan, Kislev. It was Kislev, the 20th of the month, right before Hanukkah. Yishko, Amber, Chol, Beis Elohim. They all stood in the plaza, in the streets by the Beis Hamikdash, Maridim, El Adavar, right? They were trembling about the matter. Umeyag, Shamim. And also it was raining outside. So it was freezing outside, right? It was raining outside, Baruch Hashem, right? That's a good thing altogether. But he was given the permission to make this law, and he got up and he said, Yalkom, Ezra, Koyein, Ezra, Koyein, Gerav, Yamar, Elaim, and he said to them, Atam, Altem, you've all sinned. And you've married women that are not Jewish, and you've added onto the guilt of Israel. You want to give thanks to our Kaddish Baruch Hu, you have to do His will. Separate from the people of the land, separate from these non-Jewish women. The whole cow got up and they answered, and said with a loud voice, Cain, Kidvarcha, Alin Lasais. Whatever you say, we're going to do it. Aval Amrov. But the people are many. And it's raining outside. We can't stand outside anymore because it's freezing and it's cold outside. This work is not for 1 or 2 days, Ezra. There are many people who have committed crimes in this matter. Allow our leaders of the Kaal to stay. And anybody who has been accused of marrying these non-Jewish women should come at set times. They should be invited to come to court. There will be the elders of each city and their shoftim in order to get rid of the anger of HaKadosh Baruch Hu Menu Ad L'Davar Hazeh. So yes, Ezra, we agree. Totally. We totally agree with you. We got to get rid of them. But it cannot be done in a day. Rome wasn't built in a day, certainly. This wasn't built in a day. We need time. So let everybody go back home. Do whatever they need to do. Let all the leaders come. Invite people one by one. All the people accused of doing such things, one by one, invite them all in and deal with it that way. That'll be the way to be able to deal with it. We won't be able to do it in any other way over here. That would be like a public outcry. So that's the idea behind it. We're trenched. We're uncomfortable. We can't think clearly when it comes to stuff like this. And there could have been some of these women that were actual gerim. Some of them might have been actual giorsim. They were giorsim in a good way. So why are we getting rid of everybody when some of them might have been good people? We need time to think about this and to consider this. So let's do that first. Ach Yonason ben Asol, v'ach Zio ben Tikva, amdu al zos. There were only those two that stood up against this. But Meshulam and Shabbosai Levi supported them when it came to it. So there was a machlokis about what they should do over here. There were two men who supported, right? Two men supported it, and two men who opposed it and said, no, we got to do this right now. Other people said, no, we can wait, right? Maybe they thought that this was too lenient to let them go back home with their non-Jewish wives and let them live together. How are we allowed to do this over there? But there were two people that got up and said, no, we can't do this all together as one. We have to do this in a different way. So the Bnei Agola did exactly this. So Ezra Cohen separated the heads of each family, all of them had very well-known names. They set aside on the first day of the 10th month, that's Rosh Chodesh Teves, which obviously is in the middle of Hanukkah. This is 10 days later altogether, because Hanukkah is 30 days usually. It's Machla, sometimes 29, sometimes 30. So 10 or 11 days later. Got them all together, Chodesh Asiri, Dar Yosh Hadavar, in order to decide what was going to be. So 10 days later, the tribunal sat down to figure out what was going to be and how they were going to do it over here. Pasuk Yudzayin, Ve'chalu Bakol. So they ended with all the kol anashim aushivu nashim achrios, with all the men that had married non-Jewish women at Yom Echad Chodesh Rishon. It went all the way to the first day of Chodesh Rishon, of Nisan. That meant they went through Teves, Shvat, and Adar. I don't think there was a double month, but it went all the way up to Nisan itself. So in 3 months, every case had been decided. You must have been akwanim asher aushivu nashim achrios, mibnei Yeshua, ben Yotzerek, ve'achav, ma'aseya, ve'eliezer, yarvu, gedalia. From the people of the Kohanim, right, who had settled in with foreign wives, there were two sons of Yeshua ben Yotzerek and his brothers. There were those four people that are mentioned over here. Again, it shows that Zechariah mentions that Yeshua ben Yotzerek was to blame for not complaining and making machal when he saw that his sons were doing something like this, right? But because they ended up doing tshuva, the stain was removed. And that's why Zechariah sees that the stain was removed from Yeshua's cloak, because in the end, they did do tshuva. They gave their hands, they agreed to send away their wives. In other words, they put up their hands and they swore. Va'ashemim el atzoin alashmasim, and they gave guilt offerings, a ram for their guilt. It says, Bnei Imer, Chanan Yuzvadia, Bnei Charim, Maaseya ve'Eliya, v'Ushmaya ve'Chiyo ve'Uziya, Bnei Pashkor, Elioenai, Maaseya, Yishmol Nisanel, Yozavi Alasa, Rein Milavim, Yozavi Vishim ve'Kelaya, who Klita, right? I guess he was known as Klita. Psachya, Yehuda, ve'Eliezer, and all those people are over there. Now, I don't know, right, altogether why this was going to be done for all of them to go through and why we have to mention them. I would assume the reason why is to be able to show people how chummer it was that these people ended up going through and did this.
Are they literally just throwing them out? Like, do they have any real obligation to support these women and children?
No, they're not Jewish. They were never married in the first place. These are not Giyorsim. These are people that never were Megayer properly, which means they were never Jewish. So they have to kick them out completely. So my liberal mind, like yours, David, is like, what? And then
well,
what?
No, I,
right?
Like,
what about the kids? Where are the kids going to go?
Like,
but
in our religion, if you have a wife and child, like you have an obligation to support them,
yeah,
so to speak.
If they're halachically Jewish.
Right, so yeah. If they're not, even... But
that's the answer. The answer is they weren't halachically Jewish. Now, by the way, that Korban Hashem that they brought is definitely whole Rosh Hashanah. There's no reason for this Korban Hashem. We've never heard of a Korban Hashem for marrying a non-Jewish woman. First of all, it's machlokas. It says, you know, what's the word? Lo tischatein bam. You can't marry them in front of the Kohanim. So you can't marry them. That is a law in the Torah. But Zakasha, if that applies by the seven nations, or applies to everyone else as well, it's possible that it didn't apply by these women over here. There may not have been a law. But we paskin that there is at least a law. But to give a Korban Hashem, we don't see that anywhere. Korban Hashem is not mentioned. There's only five times that you bring a Korban Hashem for five different sins. You don't bring it for this. But nonetheless, this must have been old Rosh Hashanah, and that's what they brought over here. Minim Ashorim, out of the singers, El Yashiv, Min Ashoarim, from the gatekeepers, Shalom Vatelim Va'uri, Yisrael Minei Parosh, Ramya V'Yizia, Umalkio Miyamin, Ve'alazar, Umalkio Uvnaya, Minei Elam, Matanya Zachariah Yechiel, Ve'avdi V'Eremos Ve'Eliya, Minei Zatu, El Yoenai, El Yashiv, Matanya V'Eremos Ve'Zavav Aziza, right, Minei Becha, Bevoi, Yochanan, Yachananya Zabai, and Aslai. This comes to tell you a little bit that this must have been a little bit later, because these were the families that just came with Ezra. It couldn't be that they already married. It sounds like it happened a little bit later, but I don't know when it happened. Minei Bonai,
or
Bunny,
they were already there, that they had, just they had come twice.
Yeah. Minei Bunny, Meshulam, Maluch Vadoya Yoshu Ushol Veramois, Bene Pachas Moav, Adna Uchlal, Benayo, Maaseya, Matanya, Batalo, Vinoy, Umanasha, Bene Chorim Eliezer Yeshia, Malki Ishmai Vishimon, Benyamin Maluch Shmaria, Mibne Choshum, Matnai Matato, Zovad Elifelet, Yeremai, Menashe Shimi, Bene Boni, Madai Amram, Beuel, Uel, that's a good name, Benaya Vedya Kluhu, Vanya, Vanya, ooh, Vanya's a good name. Meremus El Yoshev, Matanya Matnai Veyasoi, Uvani Uvinui Shimi, Shalemia Noson Vadoya, Machnadvai, yeah, I think that's the name, Shoshai Shoroi, Azarel Ushalemu Vishalemayu, oh gosh, Shalem Yahu Shmaria, Shalom Amaria Yosef Bine Nevo, Yio Matisya Zavid Zvina, Yadai Vio Benaya. Altogether, that came right over here. So it's a little crazy over here. But either way, right, we already talked about the Gators over here, so we don't have to go into it. Kol Eile Nasu Nashim Ochiyos. All of these men right over here married non-Jewish women, V'yeshmem Nashim. Some of them had actual wives, Yassim Ubanim, right? So apparently, some of the women bore children. These children were not Jewish, right? They were just not Jewish whatsoever. They were removed from the Jewish people altogether. Yeah, either way, regardless. You can see clearly, I'm sure you can imagine. So all these non-Jews, right, that they had married into, and their father-in-laws who were living in all the nations around them, you can imagine they were probably not so happy with the Jews right now. They were extremely angry, extremely upset at what had happened, right, and they were worried about what was happening over here. So we don't know anything that happened at this point. After Ezra finishes the Sefer, we have nothing until Nehemiah starts off. Now, when Nehemiah starts off, he says the walls are destroyed and things are going badly for the Jews. Now, we don't know when Nehemiah is speaking. Nehemiah seems to be speaking toward the end of Darius II's reign, which means years after Ezra had already been back there. So what had happened in between? So it's possible that in between this time, because they had divorced all these wives and sent them back, the walls were burned down, the base of Mikdash was somewhat destroyed, and they needed constant vigilance to protect the city from their enemies, and there were many more enemies now. Because now the enemies were every non-Jewish nation that lived around them that had given their wives that these Jews now ditched. So it is strange, but it is partly their fault. HaKadosh Baruch Hu punished the Jews. Yes, they did tshuva, but he punished them by then destroying the Beis HaMikdash. Right? That's the idea behind it. The lesson being learned here is that mitzvos have to be done even if it's difficult, even if there's something wrong. Right? They're not just there for us to get pleasure out of it and for things to go well. It's there as a test of our emunah. This couldn't have been easy. It really could not have been easy. But you have to go there, and as you pass the test, you go up levels and levels to go up there. My dad told me that once there was a couple here in Chicago, a very wealthy couple, that became enamored with Rabbi Zucker and Rabbi Francis and the Kol, Chicago Community Kol. So they ended up going through, and they, you know, they were getting on, they were, became Balei Tshuva, and they were really into it. They looked a little bit into their, you know, background, and they said, are we married properly? Are they not married properly? So they're going to get remarried. The, you know, the Rosh HaKol checked into their yichus, and they realized this woman had been previously married to a Jew, and she had had a proper marriage. She never got a get. Now she's married to the second guy, right? So what's the halacha? The halacha is that if a woman is married to the first husband and sleeps with another guy without a get, she's also to her husband, she's also to the boel, the boyfriend. This second husband is considered a boyfriend. So they went through everything. What in the world could they do? And by the way, aside from that, the kids are mamzerim. You've got three mamzerim kids. So the kids were already going to be enrolled in Jewish schools from schools. What are you going to do? So they looked into everything, and they couldn't matter it. There's no way to matter it. How are you going to matter it up? They're mamzerim, and he has to get divorced from his wife. And that test was too great for them to handle. They went back off the derech, and they're not from. The kids are not from, for all we know, married non-Jews and whatever it was, but they couldn't handle it. They couldn't do it. Now, I am not blaming them. I have no idea what I would do in that situation. I certainly would not want to be in that situation ever in my life. But it's a crazy, crazy situation that they found themselves in because of what had happened, right? Because of that situation. Now, Kadosh Baruch Hu put them in it, and it is what it is. It's just crazy amount. It's a crazy test, an absolute crazy test. Okay, let's start. We're not going to start all of Nechemiah because Nechemiah is actually... you know what? Maybe we could do the first part. Do you think we could do the first part?
We have 5 minutes.
I don't know. Maybe we'll be able to do over here. Nechemiah, right, we're going to see that most of the stuff that's written about Ezra over here is going to be Nechemiah over here. The reason why this Sefer is not called Nechemiah straight up, it's called Ezra Nechemiah or Ezra itself, because Nechemiah brags about himself sometime in the Sefer and puts down the people that were his predecessors. Because of that, Nechemiah is never named straight out in the Navi itself. It's only known as Ezra, even though Nechemiah was a great guy. So let's see. Divrei Nechemiah ben Chachalia, Ravi b'chodesh Kislev, Shnas Esrim, was in Kislev of the 20th year. Again, if Ezra left in the 8th year, this is how many years later? We're dealing with the 12 years after. And Yisub b'shushan abira was by Shushan abira. Oh wait, the opposite, right? Ezra was by the 12th year, and this is 8 years later. Ban yavo Hanani echad. So a certain man, Hanani, one of my brothers came, Achamei Achai, not literally his brother, whatever, but his brother, you know, like friend. Him and a bunch of people from Yudav. I asked him about the Jews that remained, right, from the captivity and from Yerushalayim itself, right? So again, if Nechemiah is Zerubbabel, then he came back in order to work with the king itself. If Nechemiah is not Zerubbabel, then he never left. And the reason why he never left is because he had a high-up government position. It was better for him to stay than to go into the Golos itself right over here. Okay, so he says I was in Shushan Abira. There were two Shushans. There was Shushan and there was Shushan Abira. Shushan Abira was the capital of the palace. That's where the palace was and all the big things. And then there's Shushan as well. Before, we did have a guy by the name of Hatir Shasa, who was Nechemiah. The reason why he was called Hatir Shasa, and he's called Nechemiah, Hatir Shasa is Heter Shasa. He got a heter to drink the wine of the king. The cupbearer of the king had to drink all the wine of the king. Why do you have to drink the wine? Just to make sure that it wasn't poisoned. Problem is, Yayin Akum, right? Yayin Akum. So Yayin Akum, Stam Yenam, right, is rabbinic prohibition. It was already made by the time Nechemiah got up there. So how was he allowed to do it? Heter Shasa. In order to be there for the king and to have his ear for special matters that he would need to be there for, he got a heter to drink, and that's why he was called that way as well. So he's got three names. Zerubbabel, Nechemiah, and Heter Shasa. That's the names that he have over here. So Hanani came in and told him about what was happening, and there was an attack. even though it was only 12, 13 years or whatever it was, from the time that he'd been there, there was a lot of damage and casualties that had happened over there. So he asked him about the Yomiliani Sharma Shani Sharmi Nashvi Sham Medina Baragidela. It's a lot of bad stuff that's going on from the people that remain out of the captivity of the Kherpa. And they're all degraded over there. And the walls of Yerushalayim are broken into Usharan Nitzub Aish. And the gates are lit up in fire. When I heard these things, I sat down and I cried. I mourned for many days. I fasted and I davened l'vnei Elohei HaShemayim. They divorced their wives, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They got rid of their non-Jewish wives. How is that not good enough? Why wasn't that good enough for them to be able to be saved? Omar, the great and awesome God. Notice that he does not say HaGadol VaGibor VaNora. Gibor is the word Gevura. Gevura does not apply over here, and the reason why is because Gibor cannot be said when you're in Gullus, in this bad of Gullus, and things are happening in Yerushalayim itself. El and Noran can be, but it shouldn't be right over here. Okay, so that's that. If you notice, as Rav Schwab points out, that there are two times in Megillas Tainis, right? And two times where they start rebuilding the walls of Yerushalayim. And Megillas Tainis says they built it up on the 16th of Adar. Over here, we're going to see that Nehemiah started building them on the 3rd of Av. It seems that they celebrated both days because there were two separate dates. The first was the 16th of Adar, where Ezra started building up or helping them and doing whatever it was. And the second one was when Nehemiah came on the 3rd of to be able to go through. Again, we have to wonder again, and it's strange as anything. Where is Ezra? Ezra was held in the highest regard by the king of Persia. And all of a sudden, they're able to go in and break down the walls. Where is the Persian armies that were going to be able to help them? Why in the world would he not intercede with them over here? Did he leave Eretz Yisrael, Ezra? If he did, then why would he go ahead and leave? It's so strange why he's going to be over there. We do see Ezra later on with Nehemiah when they rededicate Yerushalayim. Where in the world is he? We have no idea. We have no answers to that question. Maybe Ezra wasn't powerful anymore. Maybe the king forgot about him. Maybe Ezra went back to Babel for some reason, and that's when it happened. Maybe Ezra had to make a visit, maybe to convince other people to make Aliyah. And as he did this visit and he did Aliyah, then the people attacked and destroyed Jerusalem. I don't know. But it was bad. It was really bad. So he said, how could it be? Right? He knows, let your ears be open, and your eyes open. Lishmoa. El tefilas avdecha, to listen to the tefillah of your servant Shanochim Yisrael v'necha Yom, that I'm davening in front of you today, Yom v'layla, day and night, al b'nei Yisrael v'decha, al b'nei Yisrael, your servants, o misvada al chatos b'nei Yisrael, that I should do vidui for the sins of b'nei Yisrael, shor chatonu lach, that we have sinned to you, v'nei v'yisal v'chatonu, and I and my father's house, we have sinned. So you'll notice it's sort of like Yom Kippur. First me, and then my father's, and then all Klaizel. Chavol chavan lach, we've all done wrong to you. Below Shemayim was a mitzvah. We didn't keep the mitzvah. Says the chukim and the chukim. Says mishpatim. Asher tivi says Moshe avdecha. Zchor nos the devar tivi says Moshe avdecha. Remember what you told Moshe your servant Lemo. Atem timalu. Right. If you become unfaithful, if you do wrong, and if it says come ba'amin, then I'm going to scatter you among the nations. Veshatu milai. Ushmar to mitzvah side. And I want you to return to me, and I want you to keep my mitzvah. Says Moshe, and you will do them. Yenid echakam b'seir Shemayim misham akabet same. And if you do them, then even if your lost ones, your dispersed ones, are in the ends of the heavens, I will gather them. Vaviosim alamakom v'zav shabakarti, and I will bring them back to the place that I have chosen. So it says, yes, in our actions, we have definitely done something wrong, right? And there was something that was wrong. We may have done a chilul Hashem over here. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you told us that if we do something good, if we bring something back, maybe we'll be able to bring ourselves back to Yerushalayim. They are your servants, they are your people, that you have saved with your great strength, with your strong hand. Oh no, Adonai. Please, my master, listen with your ears to the tefillah of your servant, and the tefillah of your servants that want to fear your name, and allow your servants to be matzliach, and allow it to be rachim lefnei ha'ish hazeh, in front of this very man. In other words, he's about to go to the king. And I was the cupbearer, the drinker for the king itself. So I'm going to be in front of the king. I'm going to ask Darius II for help. I'm going to ask Artaxasta for a little bit of help. Tell me, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, make sure that everything I do is going to give me divine protection so that we have personal benefits for everybody and the people itself and everything works out well. That's what he asked the king, he asked HaKadosh Baruch Hu for. And of course, that leads into what he asked HaKadosh Baruch Hu.